I'm joined in the studio by David Skelhorn to look at her history. Good morning to you, David.
Now, good morning.
First of all, we have to make this 100% clear that the university where it stands now is not originally where it was, is it?
That's not the original building, no. No. It actually started in two rented houses in Park Row in 1876 as a university college with two professors, seven lecturers, and it was the first college in the country which took women and men on the same basis. 68 women and 30 men applied for places at £7 per course.
Wow. Now, we heard just a little bit there about the Wills family. So why did the Wills family actually set up the university?
The Wills family didn't. It was predominantly the Fry family, the big chocolate makers, who were involved in the 1870s and onwards. And throughout the history of the University College, it was necessary to raise a lot of money to gain a charter to get full university status. And whatever they did, however they tried, they could never raise more than about £30,000. Every time they got some money, they built new buildings. In fact, the first purpose-built buildings were built on University Road, beginning in 1882 and going over a 10-year period, and that then housed science, arts, law and medicine.
You mentioned there £30,000. Now, £30,000 in those days presumably was a lot of money. So how much did it actually cost? Tell me about the cost of getting the whole university up and running.
There was a law passed that University College required £100,000 in grants and donations in order for them to apply for a charter. And try as they may, the university, with all their friends who were predominantly nonconformists and liberals, could not raise this money until finally Henry Overton Wills III in 1908 sent a note to his son George saying that I promise to give a donation of £100,000 so long as the university can secure a charter within 2 years of this date.
Amazing. I mean, a heck of a lot of money there. Tell me about the Wills building itself.
Well, Henry Overton Wills obviously became the first Chancellor of the University on its formation on the 24th of May 1909. And he was quite old by then and, in fact, died in 1911. His sons, George and Harry, who were very rich themselves, made a lot of money in the tobacco industry, had been buying up lots of land in the immediate vicinity and up on the Downs and over at Coombe Dingle in order to build buildings. And they wanted to emulate the universities of Oxford and Cambridge. And so when he died, they decided they needed a memorial to him. And they already owned the site. They'd purchased the Blind Asylum in 1905, and so they owned the site, they owned the drill hall next door, and so that was decided where they would build the memorial to their father, which became the Wills Memorial Building.
Now, David, I know you actually do tours, don't you, of the building there as well. How long have you been doing that for?
About 10 years I've been doing that. I do it on the first Wednesday of every month, 12:30 till 2. And people either phone me or email me. Details are in with the porters. And, in fact, I have a tour today at 12:30.
And you're a bit worried about the snow today, aren't you?
yes, because the last two tours we've had to clear the snow off the roof on both occasions.
So. Right. How did it develop then into the university what we have today, David?
Well, I think it's very significant that the Wills family were highly involved. Henry Herbert Wills, H.H. Wills, was the benefactor of the physics building, which stands up on Royal Fort. Certainly, Wills Hall across on the Downs was a men's hall of residence, and Manor Hall out in Clifton there. And George Wills gave Burwells and a significant portion of land up on Lee Woods where the university were able to develop their gardens and so
right.
on. So the Wills family were very involved right from the start. And, of course, because they'd created a memorial building which was as good as any of the buildings in Oxford and Cambridge, the university began to get a good reputation. And some very famous people.
Yeah, let's go through some of the famous people. Let's just run through some of the big names that have passed through those great doors of the university there.
Well, I think the most significant is Sir William Ramsay. He was the second principal of the University College, so that was before the university was formed, but was still there when the university was formed, and he discovered neon and helium. In 1928, Winston Churchill became the third chancellor of the university. We have Professor Frank, we have A.M. Tyndall, Paul Dirac, Thomson, we have Dorothy Hodgkin, and I could go on and on.
I mean, there are so many famous people, and the roll call, I'm sure, throughout the 100-year history that we're going to be hearing about, you know, some of the great and the famous that have been through the famous doors there as well. Somebody else there as well.
I'd just make one point. The Wills Memorial Building was attacked by a bomb in 1940.
Right.
And the roof of the Great Hall was destroyed, as was the founder's window, and great devastation. But Winston Churchill still came on the day after this and he presented degrees to the Australian Prime Minister, which I think was just wonderful.
Absolutely.
To be able to keep doing that in all that adversity.
With all that going on there as well.
Yeah.
Any special claims to fame from the university over its decade, well, not decade, rather its century?
That's the million-dollar question. There's lots and lots of claims to fame. The Blade Department of Engineering, which deals with earthquakes, I think is a big claim to fame. The Dorothy Hodgkin Building is a claim to fame.
Exactly, you can go on. And I know on the tours that you do, David, lots of people that have been through the university have come back to actually revisit it, and they've passed on little anecdotes to yourself. What are some of the things that you've picked up whilst doing the tours over the 10 years that you've been doing the tours for?
Well, I had a Mr. Joss once who was a fire watcher during the war, and he told me he used to be up on the Wills Tower watching down on Royal Fort House to check if there's any incendiary bombs. Well, I had a chap who told me that his inspiration for doing his exams and his final exams were taken from a wooden carving in the Great Hall, which was a man on a motorbike. And that inspired him. I think he was an engineering student. And many, many more anecdotes.
Well, it's fantastic stuff. Once again, if somebody wants to do the tour, how can they contact you?
By email, dave.skelhorn@bristol.ac.uk.
Okay, well, we have those details on file here at BBC Radio Bristol, so if you want to do the tour, and I'm sure lots of people will through this special year as well. David, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
That's a pleasure.